The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Evangelii
Dicta Deleantur Nostra Delicta. First of all, this gospel is perhaps a harder saying than we can appreciate. I think it's hard for us to appreciate, or it's a hard saying for us in particular, because our world has been so much infected by this idea that any difference, any distinction whatsoever, is by definition unjust. If you have something I don't have, that's an injustice against me. Not because I'm deprived of anything, but because you have something that I don't. You are something that I am not. You are fortunate in a way that I am not. And even though I've got what I've got, the very fact that you have it is injustice. Now, of course, if you came by it unjustly and are depriving me of something, that's a different thing. Directly deprive me of something, not just, hey, I happened, you know, even the abstract, hey, I have need of something that you happen to have, that doesn't give me a claim to your whatever. Now, as the Christian tradition will say, your second cloak belongs to your brother, your poor brother, right? Those who are fortunate have an obligation to be generous, but those who are in need do not have a right to take. It's important. For those who are fortunate, there is an obligation of generosity. For those who are in need, there is an obligation of gratitude. If those get reversed, if one on one side claims as a right the response from the other, you start end up having problems. Look out a window, right? Look at things in our world. It sounds like a pretty word, but at least as it's practiced today, at least as it flies around as a buzzword in our world today, equity is a lie. But boy, does the pitch sound sweet. Boy, is it a sweet poison, but it's poison nonetheless. And it's a poison that has existed in different ways in the human heart throughout time, right? Martha, who's a disciple of Jesus, she's a follower of Jesus. Martha's infected a little bit with this jealousy, this idea that, well, that Mary has something that I don't have is itself unjust. Well, one, you know, who said you had a right to sit at Christ's feet? You know, you're the one who serves. But I'd rather be one that sits at the feet of Christ, you know, because he himself said that place is better, right? That calling is better. I've got this active, you know, ministerial call. I really wish I could just sit and contemplate. It's better. It's a better place. And Jesus says, Yep, it is a better place. But Mary has chosen it. She's taken the better part. It's hers. She has the better part. Her part is better than yours. Well, it's not fair. Mary didn't have a right to sit at my feet either. She was given it. It was a gift. How is it your call how generous I am? And why do I need to be... Why do I need to shower the same goods on every individual person? And that's perhaps where it transitions into the realm of faith. So on one hand, the social thing, that this is one example of this very human response to difference, thinking that every difference, every distinction is unjust. And it's come to a big head in our world today, in our culture today, and we as Christians should not have any truck with it. But also on the spiritual level, we have to realize that God does give a diversity of gifts, and some gifts are better than others. Some people have more than others, but that does not itself indicate there is an injustice. Someone needs to do the serving. Someone needed to tend to the practicalities. Martha was the one who was called to that. Right? And Mary was given this gift of being able to sit at the Lord's feet and contemplate his words. Good for Mary. But Martha was wrong to resent her for it. And also, Martha was wrong to... think of what Martha was saying. Think what Martha was asking of Jesus. You've given Mary this great gift. Take it away from her. Make her have my gift. Take her gift away from her. I don't like that she has this gift. It's in my way for her to have her gift. So it's not just, hey, Jesus, could you tell her to also have my gift? Or maybe we can both do the work and then we can all contemplate or some other thing like that. No, Martha's response was, make Mary stop sitting here listening to you. Get up and essentially not... make Mary take my gift. Have my gift too. Which isn't Mary's gift. And it's a lesser gift. Right, that's a very unloving thing to do, right? When you think about it. So it's a matter of maybe looking at things from, you know, the different perspectives to think, like, what is it that you're really saying when you say it's not fair? Is that fair that so-and-so has something that I don't, or is something that I don't, or has a talent or a strength or a gift that I don't? Make them abandon it. Take it away from them. When you phrase it that way, I think we have a better idea of how ugly that petulant little cry of equity is. Right? That or whatever you'd want to call that infection in the human heart, that jealousy, that envy, enviousness that can infect the human heart. The final thing, coming back to that Mary's gift is in fact a better gift. Her part is the better part. We also need, that's maybe a hard saying for us as Catholics in the church. Right? There are, you know, all God's gifts, all these vocations that God offers, all we pray for our young people to receive their and embrace their vocations. Now, you don't want to follow a vocation that's mismatched to you, because no matter how good it is in itself, if it's not yours, you're not going to be able to enjoy its fruits. You know, but there are probably better that are called that are better. You know, you have, like, you think of like the contemplative monks and nuns who, they have Mary's part. We shouldn't begrudge them that. Right? It's, you know, I can turn bread into God. That's pretty cool. Right? You can't. I'm here for you, but my vocation has something that yours doesn't. That's not a bad thing. That's not unjust. That's not unfair. And in God's providence, it's actually for your sake that I live out my calling. And it's for all of our sake that, you know, the contemplative monks and nuns pray for the world. Right? Contemplating, sitting at the feet of the Lord. Right? It objectively, that religious life, that contemplative life, it's a more perfect, more heavenly life than other vocations in this world. That doesn't mean your vocation is bad. That doesn't mean my vocation is bad. I wouldn't want to be a contemplative monk. I don't have the temperament for it. I talk too much, right? So I'm okay with contemplative monks and nuns having a higher calling than me. Indeed, I'm okay with the fact that there are, you know, active religious who have things in their vocations that mine don't have. Right, the sacrament of matrimony. You have your families and spouse. You have a companion through life, and you have your children, all those things. Like, my vocation doesn't have that. I'm not jealous. Why would I be? It's not my vocation. It's not my calling. It's different. But just because one person's calling, one person's gifts from God surpasses the ones that I happen to have, never and in no way is that ever a reason for me to think it's unfair or jealous. Right? You've taken the part that was given you, and it won't be taken from you. I've taken the part that was given me. It won't be taken from me, I hope. It's okay. In civil, in ordinary material life, in the material order, and in the, let's say, spiritual order, and in this world, and also the eternal order of the heavenly order, those monks and nuns, those great saints or any great saint. I mean, even think of the great saints, the saints we know the names of, but the canonized saints, they were so full of love. Right? There in heaven, everyone is completely filled. Some people's cups are bigger, and that's okay. Right? This is actually something that is in the Divine Comedy. I mean, it's not doctrinal, it's just an example of Christian imagination, but there's literally a scene of this in Dante's Paradise, where he's in one of the lower kind of areas of heaven, kind of the outer, less blessed, but still blessed, still heaven, parts of heaven. And he talks to a woman and about, don't you wish you were higher up? Like, I guess someone else that they knew who was higher up, closer to the perfection, more full of blessedness. She said, no, why would I be? I'm perfectly content here. This is where I'm perfectly content. This is the part that was given to me. That jealousy has no place here. It's heaven. Distinctions, differences, even distinctions and differences meaning someone has something more valuable than you. Someone is something. Where part of their being is something that is of greater dignity or higher degree or of a different kind, or even a greater kind than something you have or are or do or possess. That fact itself is not an injustice. If they've defrauded you, if they've defrauded someone else, if they've extorted or if they've gained it by sin or even if they have failed to realize that everything we have is supposed to be turned, like the Trinity, turned back in love, right? I'm not a priest for myself. I'm a priest for you, right? You're not you're not, it's, you know, your marriage isn't just a take relationship. It's supposed to be a complete gift of self, matched by a complete gift of self, wherein everyone is taken care of and no one's being selfish. That's the ideal. I know it doesn't always happen. But that's the Christian vision. Right? Now, if someone's failed to do that, again, you know, someone who has isn't living up to their call to generosity, that's a violation, just as much as someone who is in need. If they demand generosity but fail in gratitude, that's a failure on their part. But barring any actual injustice infecting the situation, distinctions and differences are not inherently unjust. And any ideology that has that idea, that does say any distinction, any difference, any disparity, any situation where the outcome for one person is different than the outcome for another, it may be pitched with beautifully emotional appeals. The words may sound so sweet and so convincing, but it's a sweet poison that will kill the life of charity in our hearts and make us less able to appreciate, even though we don't maybe have the best part, it'll take away our ability to appreciate the goodness of the part that we have been given.